Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions.
All right, let's roll. This is where we separate the men from the boys. This is when we find out who can bring it and who can't. This is one that this is like All-Star Week for sports talk show hosts. It's vacation week. It's vacation week for the megastars. Although me and Cam are still here right now. Although today it's not too bad. We actually have the home run derby to talk about.
We got the home run derby.
Tomorrow we'll have the All-Star game.
Yeah, for sure.
And Wednesday we've got the British Open.
Yeah, see, it's all coming together.
Just another day at the office.
You got it, buddy.
But a lot of people out there, there's nothing to talk about. There's nothing going on.
No, we're betting this home run derby for fun. We do every year.
I probably shouldn't admit this, but I was actually pretty pleased that I didn't have to spend 2 hours of my day putting together a Major League Baseball lineup today. It's almost like I had the day off. Like I was sitting here and I was like, man, I really don't have anything to do for this show. Like, you know, I encourage young broadcasters to prepare for like, if you're on for 2 hours, prepare for 4 hours. Yeah. But when you're professional like me, you know, whatever, I'm already prepared. So there's nothing I don't already know. But all kidding aside, I was like, well, you know, there must be something. I looked at DraftKings. It was like, there's nothing.
There's a tennis starts at 4 o'clock in the morning.
There was nothing when I looked this morning. Then they posted a tennis tournament. And they actually posted Summer League basketball. So I do have a Summer League lineup for you at 6 o'clock Eastern.
That's hardcore.
Pretty hardcore.
That's very hardcore. Interesting that Cleveland's playing the Lakers, too.
I put some time into
it. You sure did, buddy.
Well, a lot of people would kind of be screwed, but I'm following the Summer League. Not quite as closely as I have in past years, to be honest, but I am following it pretty closely. Will it result in DraftKings success?
Who knows?
Time will tell.
Yes, exactly. I got a big got my fantasy football draft dues commissioner report, and basically we have to franchise tag 4 players on our roster, Gabe, and LeSean McCoy is one of my backs. I think I'm throwing him back in the mix. Too much money. I can't save him for $38 in an auction league.
I'll tell you right now, I don't believe that LeSean McCoy will get suspended.
No, but I just don't like the situation.
But
he's too expensive. I got Mahomes for $5 last year.
He's injury prone.
Yeah, he is very injury prone, and LeSean the Bills offense is also going to be pretty pedestrian, I'm thinking.
I don't expect much from LeSean McCoy for fantasy purposes. People that know more about this stuff than I do seem to like him. Well, they don't have anything else. He's going to get a lot of touches. No, he's going to get hurt. I'm a Bills fan. I'm aware. Like,
yeah.
The dude goes down more than Vince Carter and LeBron James combined.
I got Jordy like
every
Nelson.
Play,
too.
Every play, LeSean McCoy.
Oh yeah, no, I know. He looks like his career's ending.
He lies
every
on
carry.
The turf for a few seconds, and you can't tell is he hurt or not. And he pops up, and he's all good. Or he limps to the bench, and then he's actually okay a few minutes later.
And then when the other back gets a few touches, he comes right back in.
But one of these times, he's not going to get up, or it's going to be, oh, damn, he's out. He's out for like 3 months.
He's not a young man anymore. He's been in the league for a hell of a long time.
I hate to admit it, but, you know, the fact is, you know what, women over 30 have more success in the porn industry as MILFs than grown men do as running backs over 30 in the NFL. Like, I hate to be that guy because normally I'm not. You know what I mean? I don't really look at age that much. People are automatically, he's old, he's this. I don't care. He's still producing.
A lot of old guys have done well lately in life. Yeah. A lot of old guys are producing.
Is he producing? That's all I look at. And the fact of the matter is, you know, I disagree with a lot about the NFL. And Like, you know, like DeMarco Murray, man. DeMarco Murray was 30.
Very productive back.
Yeah, but he hit 30 and he knew. He's like, you know what? Last year I averaged 3.6 yards a carry. I used to average 4.5.
Could be 3.2.
You're going down. You know what I mean? Like some of these guys that hang on, man, like, did you like watching Emmitt Smith play with the Arizona Cardinals?
It was frustrating.
It's like, bro,
even Jerry Rice with the Seahawks,
guys,
not the same.
Yeah, guys that just hang on. I respect DeMarco Murray for saying, you know what? I'm done. You know?
Yep.
Yeah, I could play, and I could get released and picked up by another team and end up on the Jets and end up on, you know, whatever, you know, the Jags and sort of go through the circuit now, but I'm not going to do it. I'm already a multimillionaire. Why do I need to do this? Right, yeah. But I'm not saying LeSean McCoy is done.
No, he's not done, but he's ending the twilight years of his career.
I will say this, actually. I will say this, Cam, and great job by you getting Mahomes last year for $5, even though you didn't really like him all that much. But
no, what I did the best game, I'll just give myself one thing. I got Cade McCown for Josh McCown for $1. That was the best thing that I did.
I wouldn't give you 10 cents for
Cade
McCown.
For Cade McCown. You know what I'm talking about, though? He actually had some games over 300 yards and stuff. But the problem is,
you did a good job with the quarterback.
What am I going to do, though, with the quarterback situation? Because Darnold's like that. That's the thing. Like Darnold.
I want somebody. Listen, I'm not the one like that's Johnny pronouncing it properly.
You want somebody who knows Hooked on Phonics to tell us it Darno or Darnold?
Yeah, but I hear this all the time. Sam Darno. Like
spelled Darnold. You're right, because he's not from the Bayou.
No, exactly.
He's not.
Sam Darnold.
It would be different if he went to
Sam Darnold.
If he was born
in Darnold.
No, but you know, down south. With the Go Tigers, GEAUX, that things are different down there. But he's not. He's USC. I know.
Cam,
he's not a Tiger.
I've spent more time in the South than Sam Darnold has. Okay.
Yeah, we actually have.
The only time Sam Darnold ever been in the South in his life is like in the Cotton Bowl, or whatever, and they got killed, right, by Ohio State. What bowl was that? It was the Cotton Bowl, I think.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. They pronounce it. It's
spelled California.
Darnold. Yeah, exactly.
No, I know, but I've heard both. No, but during the games, it's Sam Darnold.
Darnold, yeah.
You know, but I sort of hear it like a lot of people.
Darno.
It's Sam Darnold. It's not like, but it's not like sharply. It's not like Darnold. It's Sam Darnold.
You're right at the breath.
It's not like Darnold.
It trails off.
Like Donald. Hey, Donald.
It's, you know, no, it's not Donald. Donald. It's not
Sam
Donald.
Yeah,
they say
Sam
like Donald.
Yeah, Donald. Sam Darno.
Hey, whatever the hell it is, anyway, I can't save
I want somebody
for a buck.
Like Sussman. Where's Sussman? Sussman's normally lingering. Is Florio lingering? I want to hear what other people are calling him.
Lingering.
Especially now that he's the quarterback of the Jets, too.
Yeah. Would you save? Ask Florio first.
I think now he's a quarterback of the Jets instead of Darno or Darnold. He's going to be called a jackass. Stop throwing interceptions. What do you call him, Florio? What do you call him, Florio? Darnold or Darno?
Darnold.
Darnold.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's it.
But
Darnold.
You have heard sort of people sort of pronounce it like that, right? Like Darno?
Yeah, and Darno, my thought is always that's the Mets catcher, and they're spelled completely different.
Oh, Travis Darno.
Yeah, Travis.
Yeah,
Darno.
He's got the Cajun spelling with the apostrophe.
Exactly.
Yes, yes.
See, that's a whole French thing.
Yes,
it's
it is.
A French Darno.
Good call, Florio.
Darno, and that's how it's spelled. Yep. Exactly. Good pronunciation, Florio.
Good
Florio
work.
Knows what time it is.
Of course he does. Sorry, I thought you were burning the crescent rolls there.
Okay,
some smoke.
I liked your nickname for him, though. That's what I'm going to call him this year.
What, prick?
No. Stop throwing interceptions, jackass.
Jackass.
Jackass, yes. Jackass.
Well, I'm figuring that's eventually he's going to hear that at some point in time, right? Like it's in the honeymoon. The honeymoon is on now.
Would you save the backup quarterback for $1, though? If you could save six guys? Like, he's only $1. That's so cheap.
I think we're on. Check. Hello.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hello.
Hello.
It's the word I'm looking for. Starts with an F, ends with a K. FK! Son of a bitch. What a way to start the week. On the plus side, we're already 20 minutes in. We should just start the show at 420. Yeah, it's symbolic.
It actually, it's a good point. 420 is the magic number.
Yeah. Should just start the damn show at 420. So, yeah, we apologize for any technical difficulties. If we have another issue, show's done. I'm going to smash everything, and we'll speak tomorrow, maybe.
Maybe. Let's see. We'll see.
That's the gist of it. I don't know, man. Technology wants to play some games with us. All right. So Mike Blewett's going to join us in about 20 minutes at time. Mike Blewett will step up into the Fantasy Sports Radio Network's very own Mike Blewett. And we got a lot to talk about with Blewett, such as the World Cup, as France defeats Croatia in the World Cup. We got some NBA Summer League action.
Glad I hedged out of that one, Morenci. I used my noggin on that one. I'm like, this Croatia story's nice, but let's get real.
I wish I would have put more on France.
Yeah.
I did. I played France, but the thing is, I'm not going to lie, the game being so early on Sunday morning kind of threw me for a loop. I had a few too many Sleemans and vodkas the night before.
I like the fact you got like a tradition going with the Saturday night show. It's the alcohol show fueled by Sleeman Clear.
Yeah, when you're on 7 days a week, you got to do something.
I agree, Morenci. Treat yourself. It's nice. No, you're right.
Treat myself.
Have a couple. It's okay.
I had 7 or 8. Yeah. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I'm actually, you know what, since your speech to me about drinking beer, I've really toned it down, too. I think I've lost a few pounds.
Now, Ryan Hainser actually stopped by on a Saturday.
Oh, he did? Yeah. Oh, that's what I saw a call from Hainser or whatever by my phone. I didn't know he was here.
Yeah, I bet him that you wouldn't answer if he called you.
Oh, you won the bet.
He said that you and him were tight. I said, him aren't that tight.
No, we are tight. I saw my phone later on. I was like, why is this guy calling now? I was downstairs, and it was upstairs. I had my own party for one, Morenci. It's true. I like to indulge on
Saturdays, too. So, Hainser. So, our boy Ryan Hainser, and he called in last week trying to win the baseball tickets.
A few days. He was loyal.
He stopped drinking beer.
He did?
Yeah, he stopped drinking beer, and he's taken off like 40 pounds or so.
Oh, he looks a lot thinner.
Yeah, he's much thinner. But the thing is, instead of beer, he's drinking vodka.
Oh, that's probably not as good for...
And the dude drank like a massive like half gallon of vodka. So he's like talking about like how he's healthy now because he's not drinking beer.
That's debatable.
I told him, yeah, I know. Like,
switching vodka for beer is not really like...
Yeah.
I don't know if that's making you healthier. Actually, I got to believe it's actually worse. Because beer's got a lot of worse. It's way worse. Yes, it is. Beer's got sugars and
like if he's
wheat.
Drinking vodka on a daily basis now instead of beer.
Yeah, vodka punches your liver a lot.
I actually
than beer.
Told him. I said you'd probably be better off just putting on a few pounds instead of like drinking a gallon of vodka every day.
That's sage advice, Morenci. It's great. No, you're right. Yeah. Like you even told me, you're like even Joe Sixpack. You know, if you drink 6 beers a day, you're probably
that'll add up.
It's going to add up over time. It's probably going to take a couple years off your life. So yeah. I've even toned it down.
I don't even like drink. I've been drinking once a week, every Saturday night.
Once a week's not bad.
Not bad.
I usually drink. I used to drink almost every day, but I'm not even going to lie to you. I've brought it down to a few days a week too.
I don't do it. And I don't drink on Saturday nights during the football season.
No, because you got to be alert for Sunday.
Yeah,
alert.
I'm all business Saturday night with college football, and I'm all business with Sunday NFL football.
Yeah, so these are like your dog days of summer with just baseball stuff. Once college football hits, you still got those night games, the Pac-12 games and all the other stuff.
I'll enjoy my Saturdays for the next couple of weeks leading into the fall.
Exactly.
In fact, this Saturday, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers play the Argos.
Blue Bombers really let me down on the weekend. Nice 17. What are these guys doing? Well, you might want to score again. What a pathetic performance. Hey, what a move by BC going to Lule. It wasn't really Lule. It was the way the Bombers played. They were brutal. Anyway, what are you going to do?
Are you feeling down, Cam?
Not really.
You need some inspiration to get a picker-upper?
I wouldn't mind.
Here's Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in the world. Warren Buffett just tweeted out some inspirational here. Why never to give up? Number one, you haven't tried everything yet.
It's true.
Number two, you're closer to success than you think.
Hope so.
Not true.
Not really. No. It's a lie, Warren.
If you don't finish, someone else will.
That's, kind of.
Right before success, there's a dark place.
Mm. It's dark. Very, very, very bleak.
If you give up, then what? Past failures do not predict the future. Warren Buffett, words of wisdom. For someone like Sonny Vega, who Sonny Vega, a regular listener to the program,
yep.
has called in before. Actually called in. In fact, Sonny had the answer, Jorge Posada.
Oh, great answer.
Yeah, who was drafted right after Bryce Harper in the draft.
People like that one.
Yeah, well, he deserved the tickets just for that. But Sonny Vega was in the hospital for a couple of days. And we're really glad he's out because now the guilt of me and Cam not going to see him in the hospital isn't there. And I'd like to say Cam's a great friend for going to see him.
I didn't see him, but we talked.
I told Sonny, I said, listen, if you don't get out of the hospital like early next week, we're coming out. But Sonny Vega is out of the hospital. What's up, Sonny?
Good Monday morning, good Monday afternoon, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Yeah, it's Monday afternoon. I know you're in a coma for a little while here, but how you doing, Sonny? How you feeling?
I feel great, to be honest with you. I'm on the hydromorphine. They kept giving me that through the IV. Now, I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but Michael Jackson, that's the hydromorphine stuff through an IV. So I was taking like 3 milligrams every hour. The doctor let me take 3 milligrams every hour if I wanted to. So, you know what? I was getting kind of used to it, to say the least. It was pretty good stuff. It's pretty harsh.
That's the problem, Gabe. They give you the good stuff, and then you get hooked on it. Why are you going to get that feeling again? I mean, that's what people. It's dangerous.
I always hear stories about people getting their belongings stolen in hospitals.
Really?
Yeah. I think somebody replaced Sonny's cell phone.
What happened with my cell phone?
You just sound like you're in space.
Yeah, it sounds like
you're very far away.
Yeah.
Like too far. Weird.
I think you're so high on morphine, you're talking into the wrong end of it.
Well, why is it my fault? Why is it being your guys' end? There is a bit of a track record over there on your guys' end, huh?
Yeah, fair enough, but no, it sounds like a phone.
Settle down, son. That's what he said when he came out. Yeah.
What's
it's our fault. That's not our fault.
Down, yeah.
You know, listen, so essentially you're taking shots at Michael Florio. That's what you're doing.
No. Cam's clumsy feet over the cables. That was my shot there.
Yeah, not today. I don't move anymore.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Listen, so what happened, Sonny? So basically I saw you did a Periscope video where you crushed an entire, a big key lime pie.
Key lime.
And the next day, you ended up in the hospital. So what exactly happened here?
Right. So this key lime pie, it can only be eaten when it's defrosted within the 12 hours that it's defrosted. Like, I don't understand it. But so it was past due. But because I spent $7 on the key lime pie, I'm stubborn. I said, no, I'm going to eat key lime pie regardless. Right? Kind of like with Homer Simpson and the sub. If you got in the hole, if you guys remember
episode. This is like a story. This is like a service announcement for people. You can't eat a key lime pie like that's old.
Basically, what I'm saying is pay attention to the due dates. Pay attention to the expiry dates, people. These are very important things. So this key lime pie was expired. However, I was adamant about eating it. And so I went hard on it. Like I said, I promised I was going to eat the whole thing. I was looking forward to it for a couple of days. And sure enough, I ate it Monday night. Tuesday morning, I couldn't take it. It would hurt to cough. And I was in there for a week, Gabe. I was in there for about 6.5 days, not just 2 days.
So you're telling me, after defrosting the pie, you have a 12-hour window to eat the pie or else it becomes toxic? What the hell's going on here?
Did the doctor bring up your excessive alcoholism at all?
No, it was mentioned, yes. Oh, definitely.
Yeah, what's that?
Smoking, my streaks. What are your hobbies? Gambling, doctor? Oh, okay.
So how's your lifestyle?
Check. Right, exactly. But
we don't live a very healthy lifestyle.
My welcome.
Did you mention your alcoholism? Brent's a... Sorry, you just cut like a knife, Gabe. It's a slice. Was it the key lime pie?
I don't want him to get too personal on the air here about what happened. But
no, well, the key lime pie triggered it. This is what happened. And the doctor asked me, he goes, Did you have something very high in cholesterol, very high in calorie last night? Did you, what did you eat? And I didn't tell him. I didn't tell him I ate probably like 80% of a key lime pie. I'm not going to tell him that, right? But I said yes. And he goes, this is definitely what triggered this, and we're going to look into it. So they ruled out some of the, they ruled out a few of those big C words, but there's a few that they haven't ruled out yet. So I'm waiting for some more tests to be done and some more test results to come in, and we'll see. We'll take it from there. You know,
God, I think
I overstayed my welcome there a little bit. You know, at one point it was kind of hard to even get a cup with ice. Asking a nurse was kind of intimidating sometimes, you know.
Actually,
but I gotta get that. I gotta get that procedure done. That cystoscopy, whatever it's freaking called. I don't know. I had
colonoscopy.
No, cystoscopy. Whatever. Oh. If you Google tube in the dick procedure, it'll come up. I'll tell you how
I,
pretty
I had one when I was younger. Mine was in the other side, though. It was in my ass.
Yeah, that's not as bad.
No kidding. Yeah.
No, the one in the front would hurt a lot more. Mine was for my gastral problem. I have a spastic colon. Actually, sorry, Sonny, I got the same thing. I got a doctor. I had some bad blood work. I got to go see him on Friday. It's not fun getting older.
My blood work came out perfect. So
really?
Even the doctor scratching his head.
See, I wanted
you're like one of those mysteries. That's crazy.
I wanted to actually challenge Cam, too, but I'm scared we're going to put him in the hospital now.
What, to a pie-eating contest?
No, basically, I was going to save all my over-expired food.
I ate your cheese.
And challenge, challenge, is it good or not? Sort of play a game show.
It sounds like fun.
Is it still good?
Will you visit me in the hospital?
Is it still good?
We'll play the game.
I can't help. I always take a cam, Sonny. Like I
always eat expired stuff.
I have a couple of slices of pizza that are in there for like 6 days. I'm throwing them out.
No, don't throw
them
out.
And I'm thinking, you know what? Cam would probably eat this, but for his own safety, I'm going to throw this out, you know? But
there's a window of time, I think, that people really worry about, and it's not as bad as you think. It's usually about a week.
Well, I've heard
people start to panic after a day or two.
They actually add like a week to this for legal purposes. Like, they don't want
people. They're not allowed to sell you product.
They don't want people dropping dead because you ate the thing 2 days.
Great
point. You ate Oreos 2 days after the expiration.
You're right.
Date,
I went to the store to buy bacon, and it was like 1 day past, and the lady actually called the manager. He said, sir, you can't buy this, not even with the 50% sticker. Like, they're liable. They can only put those 50% up stickers up to the day. Once it gets past the day, they're liable. You could sue them.
Sonny,
if you get
sick. You know the Korean store that went to?
My bad lighter guy?
Yeah, the guy.
Shitty lighters.
Yeah, he's selling half lighters or something like that. But he's actually a nice kid, but I don't know if he's trying to kill me or not. He told me, he goes, you and your buddies want some expired beef jerky? And I was thinking, no.
Is it Jack Lynx?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'd say yes.
Yeah,
it's the good stuff.
And he was crushing
beef jerky, though.
He was crushing it. And he goes, you know, it's past due, but this stuff is good forever.
That's exactly the
point.
And
he goes, if you want some, I'll give it to you.
Sonny, you got
to
be on my side. But the jerky is made through, like, it's supposed to be. It's aged. It's smoked. You don't have to worry about the dates with that stuff.
Yeah, if I was Sonny,
take it to space.
If I was you, Sonny, I'd be watching the due dates very, very closely.
Now he's got to now.
Well, that's
I wouldn't even
thing.
Drink
I
lemonade
do.
If I was you.
I always do. I don't even play around with. But due dates, I always watch. No doubt about it. But this one was on me. I read the instructions. I read the directions. But still, I was stubborn. I paid $7 for this key lime pie. It's going down my mouth. And look where I ended up, in the hospital for a week. The pain was unbelievable. And you know what? Up until yesterday, my roommate, great Jamaican old man. But then I'm thinking to myself, hold on a second. This guy's 85 years old. And I'm in the room with this guy. Like, what floor am I on, really? And I thought he was in for a broken leg all week. Up until yesterday, I find out he's in there for a stroke. He's in there for a stroke. Now, you know me. I'm like, what, 25 years old? In the same room on the same floor with people that have strokes and stuff. I'm like, oh, my goodness. See? So it's all fun and games when you eat a key lime pie at first, but you end up being in the hospital for a freaking week, right?
Well, Sonny, we're glad. We're glad
you're back in action.
We're glad. So have you started betting yet?
Oh, of course. I was betting in the hospital. What else am I going to do? The Wi-Fi was excellent. And I'll tell you what, I ended up leaving the hospital up money. So it was a good visit in those terms.
So you can
That's
focus.
That's good. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Get the world's problems outside. Yeah, good call.
I hit a nice parlay I tweeted out about half an hour ago last night. It was really good. The World Cup was nice to me. Near the end, it wasn't that good, but I did well yesterday with France. But let me ask you guys something. Who do you think the top four World Cup teams were in this tournament? Obviously, France, number one.
The top four World Cup teams?
Yeah.
What, how they finished?
Yeah, how
power
they
power ranking.
Out of the
Belgium, I would put up there.
I would France. Be France, Belgium, Croatia, England.
Croatia, man, those guys worked their asses off. It's actually, I had money on France, but man, that team, they hustle and hustle.
But don't you think they would have lost to Belgium as well?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I do.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think France, yeah, I can.
France was the best team. Their star showed
we'll
up.
We'll give Croatia. You got to give Croatia the benefit of the doubt for getting to the final. But I think Belgium was the best team that didn't win. Like,
yes.
If Belgium would have beat France, they would have beaten Croatia,
exactly.
Too.
I agree.
But they
100%.
Didn't.
No, but they did. Exactly. They didn't.
They didn't.
They
Sonny,
didn't.
It's great to have you out of the hospital, buddy. Don't be a stranger. And next time we have a contest, feel free to call in.
You got it. Thanks, boys. Catch you on Twitter.
We'll take care, Sonny.
Get your Jorge Posada jersey.
See, even okay. Taylor says, Gabe, I would have taken all the jerky. See, don't worry about, you got to worry about creams and milks and stuff like that. Don't worry about things that take time, like, to create. Like, jerky is meant to be, don't worry about an expiry date with jerky. You can go months past on that stuff.
Now, don't worry about it.
No, I knew a guy that worked for Jack Link. See, no, trust me, they give me expired jerky. I've had it before. It's no problem.
Cam, I think we do enough gambling in our lives on sports. Let's not take our chances with meats, okay?
Okay, good point, Sonny. I never went to the hospital yet, but I've been playing with fire for a long time. I remember I was making a chili, and I left the beef out.
Yeah. Hang up, Sonny.
He's lingering. That's how Sonny.
See, we're trying to make a call on the other line.
Gabe, I'm brutal, too. I remember I left out a big thing of hamburger, and I remember, and I was like, you know what? It's been in the place for a really long time, and I still used it, but that was probably stupid. Just trying to save $20 to make chili. Like, I shouldn't do that stuff, but I'm a real gambler when it comes to meat and times and stuff like that. That's one way I really go for it. Very stupid, though. One day I'm going to pay the price like Sonny. You know? I wish you saved that pizza, though.
Yeah, we all end up in the hospital one day.
That's a great point, Morenci. Great point.
I'm actually a little concerned now. It's been a little while since I visited a hospital on my own behalf.
You actually told me, though, some of the meetings that you had went pretty good when you added more water to your diet. Right?
Well, I don't know. Like, I imagine. I'm like Mr. Burns. I got like 99 things wrong.
They just can't get through the door.
Yeah. I'm not big on checkups. Like,
no, I got to go. I got to go on
Friday. Like basically,
I'm scared. I'm really scared, to be honest with you.
Yeah, if I have a severe pain or something's going on, then I'll deal with it. But I just look at it. So, you know, no news is good news. That's the way I look at things.
I actually just changed my doctor. All the guy wanted was golf picks and stuff like that. So, like, I'm going to a guy that doesn't care about, like, gambling and stuff like that. I need a guy to, like, read my blood work, not care about, like, hey, who do you got in the pool?
Yeah, I think you need a team.
Yeah.
You need a team of physicians studying just you.
That's a good point, Gabe.
You got to get that golf ball dealt with in your stomach.
Though. Yeah, it's kind of lingering a bit. Yeah, I don't know what to do. I don't want to get to carve it out, but it's going to have to happen.
Mike Blewett's going to join us.
Nice.
Home run derby. We'll run through the odds. Got some good angles for you here, too. Game time decisions, ready for Eagle Radio continues.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game time decisions, ready for Rage Radio. Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Home Run Derby. When I look at the Home Run Derby for betting purposes, I think the for me personally, the best way to approach it is I'm looking to just take the longer shots.
Yeah, take dogs. I agree.
Because it is just so random.
And this year, too, there's no Judge. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got Bryce Harper at 250, but what about Aguilar? Muncy, he's hit a lot of home runs and low at-bats, too. Like, you know what I mean, Gabe? This is not a who's who of hitting right now, right? It's a very interesting field, and Harper at plus 250 is not enough. I don't care if it's in Washington.
Let's bring in Mike Blewett right now. Talk some World Cup, All-Star festivities. We're at the unofficial halfway point of the Major League Baseball season. Mike Blewett, Fantasy Sports Radio Networks, joins us. What's up, Mike? How you doing?
What's going on, fellas? Obviously, a nice little break in the proceedings here for baseball. I'll be watching the Home Run Derby tonight. It's become more entertaining than the actual game, so I'm excited to watch a little bit tonight.
You know, they've done a nice job. I used to find the Home Run Derby annoying. It was too long. It was too Chris Berman-ish. Now that Berman doesn't do it, right? I don't believe he does it anymore. The festivities are quicker. Like, it's crisper.
Yes.
You know what it was? I think it was years ago. You can correct me, Mike, but I believe it was the year it was raining. They were expecting heavy rain. And they basically stated, listen, we got to shorten this a bit. It used to be like 5 minutes, and they said, you know what, let's shorten a little bit because of the rain. And then there was a much, much better flow. But the Home Run Derby, I remember last year it was fire, and it's almost replaced the slam dunk contest will always sort of have that, the street cred. Yeah. And everyone loves the slam dunk contest. But the Home Run Derby, as far as all-star exhibitions, is really, really come on right now. And it's entertaining, and there's drama in it. The players care. It's actually,
More watchable than the game, Gabe. It's become more watchable than the game itself, because the game is a bastardized version of baseball with 32 guys or whatever
down,
on each roster.
Let's settle down here. I usually agree with you here, but we'll get to the All-Star game.
Well,
I can tell you
though, specifically, they were getting to the point. The Derby itself was getting to the point where it was interminable. I actually went to the one at Citi Field where Cespedes put on a show. It was about 100 degrees out. He's launching home runs at a ridiculous pace. I think he hit 27 in one round. And it got to the point where it's like, all right, you're already through. Can we just end this part of the show? It was a preliminary round. It wasn't even the finals. Like, let's get to the finals. So it ends up being a three-hour home run derby, which isn't the point of it. You want it to be fast-paced, see a whole bunch of guys get up there, see what they can do, and then find a winner. But keep it under 2 hours, even with all your TV breaks.
Let me check. I'm going to check StubHub right now, actually.
I was going to ask you, Mike, when we watched it last year with Judge, and he put on a damn beautiful show, but it's also nice to see a guy like Justin Bour, people might not know, like the Marlins, and he was absolutely on fire. So, like, you can look at the young players, like Aguilar, Muncy, you know what I mean, Hoskins. There's a lot of these guys that could get on the radar with a nice performance tonight, and it put Bour on the map.
I totally agree. And it's always fun to have a hometown guy in there. Obviously, Washington, despite him having a terrible season thus far, they have a superstar that happens to be playing tonight. And, you know, Freddie Freeman is known in baseball circles, but he's not a national star like he should be, as good as he is. He ends up leading in the All-Star vote getting, but that's because the Braves are having a good year. They're dealing with good attendance. In a normal year, Freddie Freeman might not get as much publicity. Granted, he's had some injuries as well, but he might not get as much publicity as he would during an event like this.
All right, so the cheapest ticket to get in is $280.
$280?
Ooh.
That sounds expensive.
And
I was on the arm when I went, so I wasn't plunking down $280 to go to Citi Field to sweat my, my butt off.
Game, I want to see how much it is for the game. Like, let's compare.
The game will be more.
It's the same.
Exactly $280?
It's in the same. It's $299 for the cheapest ticket to get in right now.
Do you guys
now.
Remember when they had the skills competition? Maybe they could add something to the Home Run Derby, make it a festival, like add more stuff. That'd be pretty cool.
It already is.
What do you want to see?
Yeah, what do you want to add?
I don't know. More events instead of just home runs?
You just want to see guys like throw people out? They want like a tag up?
I know.
Guys tagging up, everybody getting hurt on a plays of the plate.
What's your idea?
That's a good point.
What skill?
Yeah, you really can. I don't know. Just
actually, you know
else.
What? They
used to do skills back in the day.
No, they didn't.
They had mini skills competition stuff. They had the minor league stuff. They did. Ask Blewett.
I'm unfamiliar with this. I really am.
I don't know skills. I was at the All-Star game in 1982. There was no skills competition.
I don't know. I must be losing my mind. I thought they did. I thought they had that like mini stuff, like throwing hard and stuff. Anyway, must be nuts.
Crossing wires with the NHL skills competition.
Yeah.
You must be talking about like the MTV softball league or something. Celebrity.
Softball league.
Well, your fellow Canadian is calling that celebrity game. They're airing it tonight. Adnan Virk.
Adnan Virk. Yeah. We used to work with him. Huge movie buff, too.
Yeah, we're buddies with Adnan.
Yeah, we used to work with him, Mike. He's an interesting guy.
Well, Dan Schulman's actually Canadian, too, to be honest, from Toronto. You know what? Like, it's actually not a bad idea, though, Kev. I can give you that. Like,
you could test
who has the strongest arm from the outfield. There could be some things.
You can't do it with pitchers because of today's society and stuff. It makes total sense. But these guys don't even want to play in the game for a long time.
Well, your point was kind of defeated in the sense that we were just talking about how popular it is, and there's $300 to get in.
Yeah. I just wanted
to. They kind of don't really need that. Like they already sort of have a festival
of things. I
understand.
I just like the buffet aspect. Gave more value.
It sort of is.
Yeah.
Like already.
It is pretty expensive.
It already. That is the skills competition.
You're right.
You know what's crazy though, Mike? In Japan,
they do the whole thing.
They have a bunting skills competition.
They've lost the art of the bunt.
I'll give you this. I'll stand up for Cam here. In Japan, they do have a skills
because they care about the fundamentals. That's
they
why.
Actually have defense where they hit ground balls.
Ooh.
And guys like field them.
I like it.
But they take pride in their defense. They have a bunting skills competition where like they put boxes on the field and they're
that's
like,
a think, fantastic.
And they can but, like they can show.
See?
I can bunt it anywhere you tell me.
That's a great idea.
How quickly would the Players Association say no to that?
And I guarantee you, Chris Berman. What's he going to be doing? Bunt.
Good bunt. Bad bunt.
ESPN. ESPN would think it was like an April Fool's joke, Mike. Imagine in negotiations in a room. Hey, guys, listen, we thought it'd be great. We're going to add a bunting skills competition to the Derby. And like ESPN would be like, we're not.
I like your outfield arm and bunting, Gabe. Yeah. Great ideas. I think they're fantastic.
Well, I know this because I know and we're going back a ways, but I know Mike remembered these guys. You remember Dave Parker, the Cobra?
Of course.
And so Dave Parker with the Pittsburgh Pirates. He was also on the Reds after, but he's basically a pirate on that We Are a Family team, etc. But he had one of the best arms of all time. Great arm. And if you remember the right fielder for the Expos in that era, Ellis Valentine.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ellis Valentine also like known as one of the best arms in the game at the time. And they used to, before the games, when the Pirates and the Expos would play, they would do it themselves. Like during BP and stuff, like they would go and they'd both stand at the warning track. And they would say, all right, man, throw it to home plate. No bounce. Let's go. And they would do it. And then the other guy would, like, it was pretty cool. They'd have their own competition, actually, in the old days. Vladimir Guerrero had a cannon for an arm as well.
Oh, he sure did.
Cespedes, of current day players, Cespedes is a guy that used to show off like that, and even Yasiel Puig in a couple of scenarios has done that as well.
Yeah, and it pisses him off because even Vladimir Guerrero would do it, and it's cool, but you're supposed to hit the cutoff, man. It's like, it looks cool. You just threw from the warning track, no hop to the catcher. It's like, it would have been faster.
If you give it to the cutoff.
I remember when Guerrero used to do it. To show off and just, Guerrero used to try to throw guys out with, at first, though. Like, they'd single to first.
Oh, yeah, he'd quick play.
Younger, like, basically, they thought he was breaking the code, Mike, when he would do that, right? They told him, you can't do that. Like, what are you doing? Like, it's a single, bro. Well. Like, just stop trying to throw them out at first. Like, it pissed everyone off.
I like his style, though.
No, but they look at it, Cam, like he's showing you up. Do you look at it like that, Mike? Like he's trying to show you up?
There's that the unwritten rules of baseball book increases tenfold every year that I follow the sport. So I'm good with it. I say throw the guy out if he's too slow to get there.
I'm with you. Baseball is the one sport. Oh, so many unwritten rules. You can't do this. You can't do that. You know what I mean? It's after a while. It's like loose.
There was one earlier this year where Brian Dozier was talking about a rookie who bunted down a third base line in late in a game that they were leading by a few runs, but they had the shift on him. So he bunted the other way, and Dozier had a problem with the Orioles rookie that did that. If you have a problem with it, take the shift off.
Exactly. Like that. That's just smart baseball.
Dozier basically said he's supposed to hit it in the shift.
Exactly right.
You know what's funny?
Take the shift off. I'll see you later.
I got a huge laugh out of the irony of this. So, God, I wish I knew the kid, Mike. You seem to know everything. So there's a pitcher on the he's a young kid, pitcher on the Cardinals. And Bud Norris is terrorizing him.
Oh, yeah. Saw this story the other day.
Yeah. So, like,
oh, yeah, that's yes.
Like, basically, hey, kid, hey, you know what I mean? Like,
it was a Weaver. I'm trying to think who it is.
It's not Luke Weaver. It's just Nicholas. It's constant. It's not Nicholas either. It's constant in which just the old, we're teaching them the right way. We're teaching them the rules of Major League Baseball. And, hey, kid, don't smile. Get to the park here. What are you doing? Come out and drink with us. Do this, do that. And the player actually, like, is not happy. He's like, whatever, man. And Matheny's like, oh, it's funny. He goes, you know, hey, you know, you wouldn't believe what used to happen in the old days, you know. And, oh, everyone's so soft now. And I just got a big chuckle out of it that basically – and, you know, Matheny had a lot of problems.
I think it's Jordan Hicks. Is it Jordan Hicks?
Jordan Hicks. Yeah, Hicks. Good call.
Thank you. It's Jordan Hicks. And I think it's funny that basically everyone knows that it's like, dude, Bud Norris is just terrorizing this kid all the time. And the kid Hicks is good, too. He doesn't need this crap. And Matheny did nothing about it and sort of laughed about it. So I got a good kick out of it when Matheny got fired. And I was thinking, well, Matheny, I mean, hey, that's just old school baseball, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, Hicks has handled it well in the press, but clearly when a kid is 21 and the 33-year-old closer is riding him all the time, it's not old school football locker room stuff the way Joe DiMaggio or in baseball stuff the way Joe DiMaggio treated Mickey Mantle. These guys don't really like dealing with it that way. It's a different generation. They react differently.
Not to mention,
by getting bullied in the locker room all the time.
Bud Norris. Like, what are you? Yeah,
you're Bud Norris. It's like, who the hell are you, Bud Norris? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's right. How many teams have you been on? So, to ride the guy every day to say that you're trying to whip him into shape, I understand a veteran taking you under his wing, but if the stories are coming out that he's basically bullying him in the locker room, there's not much of an appetite for that these days in any venue, in any industry. So for these stories to get out is an even worse job, and I'm sure some players are probably leaking it to the press.
And you know what?
Matheny was on he was on a short rope before all this stuff.
I guarantee you now Matheny's gone, it changes too. It's going to change. I think Norris probably sees this and, hey, oh yeah, we used to be funny. It's not going to be funny anymore. We just got a manager fired. You know what I mean? I got to worry about myself and stop
Stop picking on this kid.
Yeah, Jordan Hicks is the kid. Interesting dynamic. Listen, this stuff happens, and you're right. Players are different now. And, you know, I remember Frank Robinson told me, he told Guerrero to stop swinging at one-hop pitches and pitches over his head because Guerrero could hit anything. And everyone like, oh, it's so cool. He can swing and hit anything. And Robinson just told him, dude, you'll be even better if you get more selective. He was trying to explain to him, and you know, Frank Robinson was an MVP in both leagues, the only guy ever to do it.
You're going to listen, greatest if you're listen to somebody. He's
you
good
figure
one to
that,
to.
Okay, you know what I mean? Yeah. Guerrero looked at him and told him, I don't understand what you're saying, and walked away. And I love Vladimir Guerrero, so I don't even like telling the story, but Guerrero looked at him and basically stated, like, he's no angles. And like, said, I don't really understand what you're saying to me, and walked away. And two days later, Robinson got a call from Guerrero's agent. And it was basically, Vladimir would be more comfortable if you didn't talk to him in the at the batting cage.
Wow.
Right. So, that's 20 years ago.
Like, Robinson was told, don't talk to him, okay? Just, you know what I mean? Just don't talk to him. Like, that was, Vladimir would be more comfortable if you didn't talk to him.
Yeah. That's insight as to how things were going to go for the modern baseball player and manager relationship. That happened 20 plus years ago at this point. And I'm sure it happens in even odder ways now. They probably communicate. The agent probably doesn't even call. They probably just text or shoot somebody a DM to let them know what their player is thinking.
You know, that's, you know, how about the story? I'm sure you heard this in St. Louis too, Mike, with Fowler. So Fowler leaves. He hated Matheny too.
Dexter Fowler and Matheny.
He hated it. People are booing. With the Cardinal fans, you never boo. They're all over Fowler all the time. And I guess Matheny used to send out text messages before every game with the starting lineup. And it'd be the text message, and it'd be like an inspirational quote. And I guess Matheny found out because he could tell, but Fowler blocked him.
Blocked manager.
Yeah. He blocked, like, his phone. Wow. He blocked the tweets. And he didn't deny it when asked. He basically said it. I don't need to see any, like, inspirational shit, man. He goes, I see the lineup when I get to the park. Like, F off. Like, basically, he's like, I don't like Matheny. Like, he didn't even hide it. He's like, yeah, I blocked him. Like, yeah, I don't like him. Like, essentially. So I got to tell you, there's probably a lot of people in that Cardinals room that aren't, they're not crying to Matheny. That's why they probably fired him.
Hey, they got swept by the Reds. They go win the last game with the new manager.
They weren't winning.
Yeah,
the players, you're not getting along with a lot of players in the room.
You're a proud organization. You can't be like that. They were underachieving. They had to do something.
And I saw the story, too, Mike, that they could have hired Terry Francona. Francona would have taken the job.
I mean, that's a huge swing and a miss right there. But, you know, they had a guy that was with the organization for a long time. To your point, it had kind of run its course. They had some success initially, but time for a change. They're not the type that's going to shuffle along at 500 and be okay with it. They're trying to make the playoffs every year.
All right. T-Bone tunes in. It's actually a Cardinal fan. And, you know, I know you, T-Bone, you're in Denver now, so you're more of a Rockies guy, but I know you were no big Matheny fan. Neither was I. Cardinals have cost me a lot of money this year, actually. They pissed me off, this team.
They lose to the White Sox. They get smoked by the Reds. They're a bad favorite.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions.
Game time decisions. Ready for Rage Radio. I'm Gabriel Marenzi, alongside a Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. Let's talk about the Fantasy Exclusive. You want to win your fantasy football league like the fantasy executive? You simply go to the very best source of information you can find, and that is rotoexperts.com. Senior writer Jake Seeley. It's an undisputable fact. No other fantasy football analyst in the industry is a better player ranker and accuracy expert than the all-in kid. In 2017, Jake Seeley was the number one draft accuracy ranker in the entire industry, is verified by Fantasy Pros, and has been a consistent top three ranker throughout his distinguished career. Well, I'm really pouring it on thick here for Jake here.
I wish they'd say those things about us, pal.
If you want the best, you got to go with the best. Get Jake Seeley's 2018 Fantasy Football Package and rankings now in the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter promo code WINNER at checkout for a special discount.
Where's our write-ups?
Discount.
Who wrote this? Jake Seeley?
Maybe.
It's got to be somebody.
It sounds like Barry Horowitz wrote it.
Jake Seeley is a great
He's the accuracy expert.
He's a great, great ranker.
He may have ghostwritten it for someone.
Yeah, I know. Cam has something to say to me and Mike Blewett.
Yeah, first of all, baseball guys that had a turn back to 1989. Major League Baseball held a skills competition that went beyond the home run derby. There were catchers, relay throws, of course, dingers, no video. It was possible. It wasn't even televised, but they have evidence it existed. They had catchers who scored points. Pena had 21. Remember Santiago? He tossed four through a hole and a target six times. Steinbeck and Tendleton were able to throw the ball to the target between them. It says, being completely honest, this version of the skills competition seems a little bit of a snooze, but I'm all for catchers winging baseballs through a tiny hole. But the rest of the competition featured a relay throw event and a home run derby that was suspiciously B rate of home runs. Eric Davis only hit three. Bo Jackson won. And then after that, and you know what happened, Mike? They said they had a skills competition, but guess what happened in the arm competition? Barry Larkin said enough. He heard a pop and he got hurt. And that's why they've gassed the skills competition from there. He made a relay throw and arm went pop. And then they said enough is enough.
Sounds like it was a smashing success.
Yeah, it sounds, yeah. It's, players getting hurt, not cool.
Cam Stewart putting us in our place.
Well, I mean, I think our intuition is on point, though. Sounds like a bad idea.
Well played, Mike.
All right, so as far as the home run derby is concerned, so they basically have it as a bracket format now, right?
Yep.
So this is when I'm looking at this, you know, so the way the matchups are, so we've got Alex Bregman versus Kyle Schwarber. We've got Bryce Harper versus Freddie Freeman. We've got Max Muncy versus Javier Baez. And what's the other one? What am I missing?
You're missing
Aguilar versus Reese Hoskins.
Yeah,
Aguilar versus Hoskins. So I was talking, like, when we went out to the last break here, guys, about, to me, it's important, like, who's going to be pitching. Who's going to be pitching in these situations?
Like, not your cousin or your father. Like, Aguilar's bringing in a guy that actually he's worked with for a while.
I think you're better off
with your guy.
With having the guy that basically pitches to you regularly.
I agree.
That you're used
100%.
To. And the two dudes that I almost sort of discount here are the two Cubs. Kyle Schwarber and Javier Baez. Who's pitching to Kyle Schwarber? A real estate agent friend of his.
From Century 21, aren't they the sponsor?
A real estate friend. Now, to the guy's defense, he played baseball at the University of Miami with Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, I got a buddy who played for the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. Who cares?
Yeah, but you see where I'm going with this? Is Kyle Schwarber coming in this to win this? Or is he like, man,
like
I'm bringing my buddy in, and you know, we're going to have
like
a couple
experience.
Of beers after. We'll have a good time, right?
All-star experience.
You know, I don't know. It's not, you know, he's bringing in his buddy, essentially. All right, nice guy, but all right, fine.
He's also minus 180. Ugh.
One of my favorite stories here, this is Javier Baez, in which Baez's brother will be pitching to him. Except it's not, let's get there. So Javier Baez asked his brother if he was coming to the All-Star game, and he said, no, I can't come. I'm busy.
Nice.
And Baez told him, well, how about if you pitched to me in the home run derby? Would you come then? And he said, yeah.
Of course, yeah. So, I did have plans.
So, yeah, like this wasn't long planned. The guy just like agreed to come like over the weekend.
It's basically he said, you pay for my trip, I'll come. If not, I'm
yeah,
not
no, his brother, I don't know what his brother does for a living, but I guess he's successful and very busy. He's like, it's an honor that my brother can find time to come here.
Oh.
So I don't know what the deal is there, but I'm just stating, too, that Baez doesn't have his normal rhythm. It's going to be his brother, right? Schwarber's got a real estate agent. And then, conversely, we go down the list of different guys. Jesus Aguilar.
I like that pick.
Yeah, he's got the Milwaukee Brewers first base coach.
Thank you.
Who throws batting practice to him specifically during the season. Carlos Subero. See, we're giving you insight that no one else is going to give you.
Robbie Cano, I remember, had his dad throw to him. His dad was a good baseball player in his own right. Obviously, he was long since been retired. But I remember his dad threw to him. So that was a unique one that I can remember. But his dad was an accomplished baseball player. Mm-hmm.
Bryce Harper's dad, I believe, is going to be throwing to him tonight, too. Harper's had his father throw before.
Yeah.
You know,
father-son, you probably got chemistry because you've done it before.
I mean, especially Harper's dad's a big sports dad. You know, he's thrown a million balls to his son, et cetera.
I'm sure, yeah.
I still prefer, though, the regular guy doing it. Now, how about this? This is some real insight here. I like Alex Bregman tonight because he's the longest shot to win.
14-1.
You can get him as high as 14-1 out there. Yet, who's going to be throwing to him? Javier Bacamonte. Javier Bacamonte happens he is he's a coach with the Houston Astros. He throws batting practice for the Astros. He has thrown in four different home run derbies. Like, he's been around the league, this coach. So he's thrown to Andruw Jones and Jason Bay before, and Miguel Cabrera. So three times. This is his fourth time pitching in a home run derby. No nerves. No, it's nice and easy. He knows
same,
just
same
how to
ball,
lob it in there.
Trajectory. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. The best pitcher ever, guys, was Todd Frazier's brother when he was in Cincinnati, even though they cheated. They had to change the rules because of them. He was throwing balls before the other balls were landed.
Amazing.
So, like, he would toss one up. Frazier would smoke it, and then, boom, he'd throw another one. There were, like, multiple balls in the air. They said, hey, like, after. And, you know, if you want to make it interesting, a skill competition, Mike, how about we make those damn kids in the outfield, like, no gloves out there?
Just I'm waiting for the first series. I'm waiting for the serious injury.
Oh, so have I.
Oh, yeah, there's been, like, so many times that ball going right on top of the kid's head.
A kid ran into another kid last year and got somewhat injured, but I'm a grown man, and I even played baseball pretty competitively and stuff. I wouldn't even want to be out there with Kyle Schwarber lining line drives out there at me. You know what
I mean? Way. Not with other people running around at my feet. That's the problem.
These kids, it's like they're playing 500 with your kids.
500 up.
Everyone fights for the ball and stuff.
Yeah.
Say it's a hot liner. I know.
At least they hate that game.
Recipe for disaster.
No, it really is weird that they have kids running around out there, isn't it?
Well, you're not going to have adults.
And you've got, like, the biggest sluggers in the game just crushing balls.
That's true. Yeah, it's a good point.
I mean, Giancarlo Stanton hit a line drive 120 miles an hour a couple of days ago. I don't think the 10-year-old son of a corporate marketing guy is the proper person to have out there shagging the liners.
So, Alex Bregman's got
one man's opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that one man's opinion. Freddie Freeman's got Braves infield instructor Thomas Perez. Perez throws batting practice to him with the Braves. Hoskins, pretty cool. Hoskins is bringing in the minor league infield coordinator of the Philadelphia Phillies.
That's cool.
Because he helped him with his swing in the minor leagues.
Nice. I like that.
So that's pretty cool. That's like, he's angle. Throwing a bone back to a guy that helped him in his career. And Hoskins says he throws a mean BP. I've always loved his BP. So Hoskins has got a comfortable guy. I'm looking for any little edge I can get here, Mike, even though, to me, this is such a crapshoot.
It is.
Like, do you like anybody tonight in particular?
The park itself is fairly symmetrical. However, I'm always going to bet on a lefty. Always. I would never bet on a righty going in, even if it's long odds. I just feel better about lefties over time having a little bit more of a home run swing. And we've seen it historically in the home run derby. A lot of lefties have won. There's some righties in there, too. Aaron Judge won last year, and Giancarlo Stanton the year before. I just typically am going to lean towards a left-handed hitter getting it done. And right now, from what I see, the longest odds of a left-hander is Freddie Freeman, which means I'd have to bet against Bryce Harper in the first round. So that's a tough one. But you could go Muncy at 6-1 or Schwarber at 6-1. You get a little bit shorter odds than Freeman. But it's going to be one of those two, probably. I don't see myself betting against Harper in the first round.
Thing about Muncy is
I like Muncy.
He's got 22 home runs and only 225 at bats. Too, a lot less at bats than the other guys. Like, this guy's been a power machine. Like, he's going against
Baez in the first round. Yeah. I'd feel really good about him getting past that first round. So Muncy's already into the semis, and then you go from there. But that's the way I would kind of look at it. So Muncy would have to go against Harper or Freeman, so you get an upset there. And then he's likely to go up against a right-handed hitter because there's three righties on the other side. Schwarber's the only one on the other side of the bracket. So I'll go with Muncy at 6-1.
I like that pick a lot.
Yeah, I like Muncy too. The thing with Bryce Harper, he struggled this year, but he still does have 23 home runs.
Yes.
Yeah.
He freaking crushes the ball. He's at his home park. He's going to be comfortable. He's been in the Derby before, too. I think he was in second place last year, right? He was a runner-up. So, like, he was a runner-up when he was in it. Like, he's been in the Derby before. He's going to want to win. He is a competitive dude. I liked Freeman, too. I looked at Freeman's odds, and Freeman's not a powerful guy, but he's a finesse guy that could get in a rhythm. You know what I mean? He can get into a rhythm, but he's got a real tough matchup, man, against Bryce Harper coming out of the gate.
He sure does.
Do you buy in, Mike?
Tough.
Do you buy in, Mike, that the home run derby ruins a hitter's stroke? That it's a detriment to their game somehow? Some people believe it.
Well, there's a few guys that have bowed out of the home run derby years after they, in Judge's case, he won it, and he still doesn't seem like he ever wants to do it again. The famous Bobby Abreu, he sort of tanked after he won. 1 year, years ago, what year was that? 2005. He had a miserable season after he'd won the home run derby. I've heard guys like Mark Teixeira say that's just nonsense. It's guys looking for excuses. You should be able to get in and out of, you're going to be in and out of rhythms all season long.
I'm of the belief that it's ridiculous to even,
That's the thing about baseball.
Batting practice. Yes. You do it every night. That's don't give me this garbage exactly. that it's changing your stroke. I've watched BP. You guys aren't like worried about your stroke. You're trying to hit the ball into the 13th.
And
deck.
To Blewett's point, over the term of a long season, you come in and out of it all the time. Don't blame the damn home run derby. That's just the nature of baseball.
Yeah, you know what it is. I mean, you're off. You're off for four or five days.
Exactly.
Your routine's been changed. It's not the derby.
That's right. That's exactly what Mark Teixeira said when he was asked about this last year regarding Judge, because Judge went into a little bit of a funk last August. He was really bad for about a month. And Teixeira thought it was more, to your point, Gabe, about him having 4 or 5 days off. They're used to playing every day. They take 4 or 5 days off. Maybe they get a little bit out of rhythm. And the only hitting you do really during that is probably taking home run derby swings. So you got to get back into a rhythm. Guys are generally in and out of the funks all the time. The best hitters in Major League Baseball don't hit 315 for 6 months in a row. They hit 350, then they hit 280, then they hit 345, then they hit 283. That's how it goes. Even the most solid, consistent hitters are still somewhat streaky by definition.
Exactly.
And nobody's stopping these hitters from hitting a batting cage for the next 5 days.
True, yeah. You can do whatever you want with your time off.
As far as the All-Star game itself is concerned, I personally think it's the best one. It's weird, too, because when they added the home field advantage to the World Series, I thought it was ridiculously stupid, but I grew into liking it. I grew into liking it. You know, and I was like,
really?
Yeah. So now
why?
It's not for home field anymore, but it's still cool. I mean, but I find it is the one game. It's the only All-Star game. And in my opinion, that they're actually trying 100%. Like they really are. I mean, ask Pete Rose and you know how much he tried in an All-Star game.
To the actual game being played during the course of the year. Football obviously doesn't do that. Basketball, they don't play any defense. And hockey same thing. Nobody's lighting people up during the hockey All-Star game.
Baseball is such an individualistic, stat-driven sport to begin with. And these guys are such egomaniacs, right? And they're such alpha male, their personalities. When they go, like, these pitchers, they want to strike three guys out. They're in there for one inning. They're throwing heat. They're not like, oh, it's the All-Star game. I'm not going to throw my arm out. No, no, no. Kershaw's going to throw heat. You know what I'm saying? Like, Scherzer is going to get pissed if he gives up a run. Players that go up to the box.
They want to throw probably the least amount of pitches, but effective pitches.
Players that go up into the box want to get a hit. Mm-hmm. They want to be the All-Star MVP. They want to shine, like... You know, you'll see a guy die for a ball. You know what I mean? They're not going to let it drop in. It's just, that's what's different to me about a fight. I like the All-Star. I like the American League. Who do you like, Mike?
I'm going AL as well.
Thanks for the time, Mike. Always a pleasure.
All right. Talk to you guys next week.
Have a good one. Time flies by. We'll talk more about the All-Star game and the derby on the other side.
Steiner Sports is the leading memorabilia provider for the New York Yankees, Rangers, Giants, Knicks, and the Brooklyn Nets. Featuring hundreds of items from your favorite athletes, Steiner Sports is your source for the best sports gifts. Go to SteinerSports.com/box and shop our collection of memorabilia boxes.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-84-FNTSY. 843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
It's like Rage Against the Machine.
Or whatever. Radio.
Like, all right, hold on. This is Killing in the Name of. Right, isn't it?
Killing in the Name of.
Yeah, then it switches up. Next part.
Killing in the Name of.
Yeah, you got it.
I think.
No, it is. I know. Is it Florio? Is it? It's got to be. I think it is. I bet on it.
I like Rage Against the Machine, but it's just kind of tough without the lyrics. They all kind of the
Bulls
same.
On Parade sounds dun, like dun, dun, Killing dun, in the Name.
That's kind of that's kind of their thing.
It's that formulaic, big time.
All right, thanks to Mike Blewett for joining us on the program. So we're going through the Home Run Derby.
I'm surprised that you liked the All Star Game when it meant something. Like, really, really? Yeah, just getting used to it.
It adds something to it.
I'm kind of glad it doesn't have it, though. It's still a good game. I don't need a team to get home field because of the All-Star game. The game, it'll speak for itself. It'll be good. It crushes the other. You said it. It's just way so much better. Like, the hockey All-Star game is an absolute joke.
The hockey All-Star
basketball,
game
it is the worst out of them all. Even the Pro Bowl is better.
Well,
I agree.
Gone, you know, the Pro Bowl, it's funny because the Pro Bowl is becoming more and more competitive.
They're starting to play defense all of a sudden in a few years. It's annoying. I used to blindly bet the over.
I don't like it.
I don't like the defense.
No, I don't like the Pro Bowl now. I used to love the Pro Bowl.
The Pro Bowl used to be a great, he had a license to print money.
I used to love the Pro Bowl. I used to put, man, a few years, I put more money on the Pro Bowl than the Super Bowl. Like,
well, why not? They didn't stop anybody.
I put like $5,000. That's why I was so pissed. I put like $4,200 on the Pro Bowl the year Baltimore and San Francisco were in the Super Bowl. And I thought it was going to be epic because I hit the Pro Bowl over. And I was like, man, I'm going to roll it all over on the Niners. I ended up losing.
Yeah,
so
the power outage game? Yeah, trust me. I know.
Frustrating.
I was with some San Francisco fans. Tough day.
But, now they rush the quarterback and stuff. It's annoying, man. Like, next year I'll remember, though. Bet the under in the Pro Bowl.
Now it's bet the under.
Yeah, like, there's no – it's just – but the thing is, it's half-assed, right? Like, they're playing defense, and they're kind of hitting you, but no one's really going full speed, but the defenses are trying now. They used to not try, and I don't know, man. The offenses used to just throw bombs.
Now it's nickel and diming.
They run the ball. It's like 16-13
games. Game's changed.
And the commissioner loves it. He's, oh, now we've got a competitive Pro Bowl. They got pissed off because a couple of years ago, it started to get crazy. It was like 49-47.
Yeah. Was that Team Rice versus Team
Irvin?
Yeah,
the thing is, it was fun. Yeah. And the NFL got pissed off because on a few plays and stuff, guys, like on a few kickoffs, they were doing like multiple laterals and
I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Why not?
They were having fun out there, right?
It's supposed to have laterals.
Guys, they were throwing bombs on every play and they were like, oh, it's not real football. But, you know, you got to play like it's a real game. And the players are like, whatever. And then finally, something clicked. And it was, you know what it was? That jerk off, J.J. Watt, actually. He was the one, man.
There was what, time for defense?
Yeah, there was one Pro Bowl where he just started rushing
quarterback.
Like, he sacked the guy like 10 times. I was getting pissed off. It's like, dude, no one's here to watch you, like, sack the guy every play.
Block him.
No, but the thing is, people go to the Pro Bowl to watch plays made.
Yeah, not you.
It's like, we get it, JJ. Like, you're trying. Like, JJ was running hard off the side edge. And the guys on the line
they were sort of
casually until finally, like, after, like, the sixth time, man, like, they sort of clued in. Listen, JJ Watt's, like, not going to stop tackling us. Like, he's playing for real here.
Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, he's a competitive dude. Yeah, I give him credit for it, but it's annoying. The hockey, they went to the 3-on-3 stuff.
Yeah, it's
bad.
It's not cool.
And I'm not ragging on it just for the sake of ragging on it.
It just doesn't work. Hockey is one of those sports that the playoffs is where hockey, that's where you build your base. That's where it's real. And that's what separates it from other sports. It sucks.
The players, they don't know how to play it.
I know. They look actually confused out there, and they make a lot of bad plays.
They never play 3-on-3. If you're going to do on 3-on-3, you're better off doing it in half a size rink. I'm dead serious. Do a dead size rink, shorten it, and at least they'll know how to set up at the blue line and tic-tac-toe plays. It's freaking awkward, man. The ice is massive. There's three of them. They don't even play with the guy that they're on the ice with. They don't really know how to handle it. Like, they're in between. Like, they don't... Yep.
It looks confusing for
them. They're confused. They're lost, basically.
A lot of plays, like, they do back passes. The guy's not even ready for it.
No, but even, like, growing up, like, NBA, you could do it. 2-on-2 or 3-on-3. Everybody, if you played ball, everyone's played 3-on-3 pickup in a half-court setting. Everybody's played 2-on-2. Everybody's played 1-on-1 in basketball. Hockey is different.
Yeah.
This is how stupid
the sport is. You have that little weasel in charge, right? And then you talk about, let's change the shootout. And nobody wants the shootout. You could have implemented this 3-on-3 overtime for years and had guys get acclimated to it. Instead,
they have these little 10-minute periods that are games.
It's so stupid, man. I know. The hockey,
like, if you want
built,
it, I can live with it. Go 4-on-4 for the All-Star game. They're used to playing 4-on-4.
Big time.
They would actually fly around and score a million goals.
4-on-4, they know.
Because they know, okay, the defenseman's here, the defenseman's there, we're going to dump it in, we're going to chase, we're going to slap it in front of the net. They would have set plays, like, designed, right?
Yep.
On the 3-on-3, they don't really have set plays, Cam. It's sort of chaos. Like, they have a defenseman, he sort of, like, he skates up slowly with it because the other two guys, they sort of back up. There's no flow to it. It's just, it's inconceived.
Well, the embarrassment of hockey is the way they treat. They should be doing, in other sports, Gabe, we have overtime, we have winners. You know, you have in football, you get the ball, the other team gets the ball, whatever. A hockey game is decided. Teams make the playoffs because of skill competition. Oh, then they can go, oh, but everybody makes the playoffs. You know what? They should have instituted this 3-on-3 with that little people on the ice. The games would be short. And don't tell me, they're not playing like baseball, 160-plus games. They still have a schedule. If me and you were in charge, I'm telling you, 3-on-3 is the only way to go.
I would prefer if the NHL did what MLS soccer does. And a great example is, so the MLS All-Star game's coming up.
Yep.
And they're playing against Juventus. They're playing a top world team. And it'll be Cristiano Ronaldo's Juventus debut as well in the MLS.
That's
going to
be amazing. Extra
it's
ratings.
Raise a higher profile.
You're telling me.
Now the world will be paying attention.
Good point.
Right? Because Ronaldo's playing in this game. His first appearance in a Juventus uniform is going to be in the MLS All-Star game. Yeah, MLS is like, everything's coming up MLS. So, they had 72,000 people yesterday in Atlanta. They fall ass backwards in a Ronaldo.
Yeah. It must be nice to be on the board. Hey, guys.
Yeah, things are going well for MLS right now.
How's our shareholders?
But now listen.
They should play the best global team.
Yeah, like Juventus is not going to. It's an exhibition game for Juventus.
Yes.
For them, it's.
They'll play some other guys.
For them, it's an exhibition game. Getting ready for their domestic season.
For sure.
And they look at it like, hey, it's better to play, you know, high-profile exhibition game than just
kick around with the practice.
Yeah, it puts pressure on the players a bit to not embarrass themselves, et cetera, right?
Yep.
And MLS are going to bring it because they're going to want to beat a big Italian team.
Damn right they will. Like, they want to really bring it.
So growing up when I was a kid, Cam, you probably remember this stuff. You're a little younger, but you might remember, although the Leafs never did it because Ballard said, I'll never let a commie play in the garden.
Harold Ballard, the racist.
Harold Ballard.
The racist owner.
Basically, so.
He was bad.
In the late 70s and into the early 80s, okay? In about the mid 80s or so, probably about 83, 84 ish, there used to be a series.
That's correct.
That they would come. So basically, it would be the Red Army
versus
Russia.
The best teams.
Moscow Dynamo would come.
Correct.
And the Red Army team was the elite team. It was basically the Russian Olympic team.
Yeah, Vladislav Tretiak and legends.
But they were known as sort of the best team in the world, right? The Red Army, not in the NHL. Mm-hmm. So who would they play? The Montreal Canadiens. And the Canadiens would say, bring it on. Let's go.
Yep.
Nowadays, you wouldn't do that. You'd be pussies. They'd be on. Oh, no, we can't do it.
We're not playing locomotive.
Somebody got hurt. It's like, no. Like, they said, all right, let's go, man. Let's play. Red Army versus the Montreal Canadiens. Let's do it. New Year's Eve. And it became a tradition.
Yep.
I went to a few of them. The Canadiens played every New Year's Eve, man, against. And one of the games, it was known. It was 2-2 tie. It's known as the greatest hockey game ever played. And it was Red Army and the Canadians, man. And they went as hard as possible. And they ended up in a stalemate. And it was just cool to see. Like, the best team in the NHL. It was Guy Lafleur, 1970. Like
Steve Shutt and all those guys.
All those guys,
yeah. Wow,
man.
Those were good players.
And they went 2-2. Stalemate.
Yeah, no shootout. Tie. Yeah. Great game.
Stalemate after. Yep. Now, we should note the Canadians did sort of dominate them. Mm-hmm. Tretiak was unbelievable.
He's an amazing goaltender.
Like, Tretiak, yeah, he was the best goalie in the world, never to play in the NHL by far.
Great call.
And so Tretiak was just incredible, and Ken Dryden was a little off. Mm. It was one of these deals that the Canadians had, like, 38 shots or 40 shots on goal, 42. It was one of those epic, like, Tretiak stole the game, 2-2. Russia had, like, 16 shots, but they scored twice. Dryden said after, it wasn't my best night. Like, you know what I mean? It wasn't my best night.
And
that was the night, that's where it came from, in which the Russian coach, after...
Viktor Tikhonov.
After he said, number 23, Canadians, Bob Gainey. He said, number 23 is best hockey player in the world. And that was it. Like, he said, Bob Gainey's the best hockey player in the world. Because Gainey was so good in that game, and, like, back and forth, offense, defense, and just all around. That's pretty high accolade.
You're telling me.
He told him, he said, Bob Gainey's the best all-around hockey player in the world, the Russian coach.
And getting that praise from those guys was pretty good for Gainey.
Well, he was a rampant communist, like, uptight, right? So, but anyway, so you had the big series. Now, of course, there was a famous night when, I know we got, like, a lot of historians listening to the show all the time. You guys always remember the dates better than I do and stuff, but... There was a famous night, Cam, when they played in Philadelphia at the Spectrum. And the Flyers went all goon squad. And the Russians split. They left the ice.
See ya. Yeah, we don't have to deal with this crap.
Yeah, they were like, yeah, this is past normal for an exhibition game here. But the Leafs never played.
Nope.
Because Harold Ballard said, I will never allow any Russian to skate on Maple Leaf Gardens ice, any communists.
Yep.
He refused to allow them to play.
It took forever to get the Russians out there. They had to wait for them to die, basically, before you get, like, Alex McGillney or any of these other guys on
the team. Yeah, they never had a Russian on the team before.
No, they did not. Not till very, very late.
They had Boris Salming, who was Swede.
They used to have Swedes. They never had Russians on.
No, he wouldn't know. Exactly. He was anti-communist.
Let's call it out for what it is. He's splitting race. The guy's straight up racist.
Well, like, I don't know. Like, I know.
Dude, Harry Ballard was one of the worst owners in sports history. He's horrible.
Yeah.
For what he did to that franchise. Actually, Montreal, the way they're going right now. They're going down the tubes.
Ballard, there's some crazy stories about Ballard, like in his epic cheapness.
My mom went to high school.
Dude, he gave...
Different sides of the fence, obviously. But, yeah, the guy's always been a little bit off.
He gave a per diem to the players, $5.
Great. Thanks, boss.
No, I swear to God, like, you don't feel sorry for NHL players, but this is basically like in the 70s. Like the Leafs, like every other team got like $75. The Leafs got $5. And basically,
couldn't even buy a combo.
No, like the Leafs used to like eat fast food all the time and stuff.
They were
because
horrible.
That's
what they could afford.
Yeah, like there was like a diner near Maple Leaf Gardens.
10 nuggets like, for $1.99. Yes!
Yeah, like I was reading it. I read a book about Ballard. And basically the players, like, people were like, man, the Leaf players are so accessible. They always eat at this place. Yeah, and Buddy said, I'm not accessible. I eat here because I have no money. He goes, Ballard doesn't pay us.
Professional athletes.
Yeah, Ballard. Like,
he had a lot of money. He was hiding money.
Oh, no, dude. Like
that
like,
guy just hated to spend.
He was
the epitome of frugal.
Like they stayed in the worst hotels.
Yeah, the other guys were at the Hyatt. Like, they're at like a Motel 6.
Yeah,
like,
no. Yeah, like,
come on, Harold.
They stayed in motels.
Yeah, that's right. Like by the hour.
They were a professional hockey team, but they were staying in a motel.
Basically,
like, you're not staying at the Sheridan.
Hookers and Johns are there. Just down from the Leafs.
No, like his cheapness.
Oh, he's tighter than tight.
His cheapness.
Harold Ballard is the tightest. He was a crotchety old guy too. He wasn't very nice to anybody. He was just brutal. Just
here it is. A history.
Brutal.
Here it is. A history of Harold Ballard's villainy. He feuded with family, players, management, and the media, and even the Queen. He once described his own daughter as a reptile. He called Russians parasites and barnacles who steal our money. Ken Dryden wrote of Harold Ballard in his book, The Game. He's like a wrestling villain who touches the audience to make the next villainy seem even worse. Like, he really was insane. Like, wow.
That's the best. A history of Harold Ballard's villainy. Yeah, he was. No, he was a bad, bad dude, man. That team was bad for a while. They were a laughing stock. I used to go to the games. They used to lose like 15-12 and stuff. It was just they sucked. They're the worst team going. Man, they were awful.
Here's the story going back to 1972. We're going back a ways. Leafs owner Harold Ballard convicted of fraud.
Fraud.
Here it is. Did you know that Harold Ballard was sentenced to 3 consecutive year terms at Millhaven Prison? He served 1 year. I didn't know that. After release, he said prison was like staying in a motel with color television, golf, and steak dinners. He claimed to have photographs of himself drinking beer with the guards and wearing one of their uniforms. In 1961, he was one of 3 principal owners of the Leafs. He took control of the Gardens in 1971. He quickly developed a reputation for only thinking of the bottom lines.
Hear this one with Roger Nielsen. He fired him, and then he hired him back, and he said, hey, buddy, you're so bad. He told him to wear a paper bag over his head for his first game back as coach after rehiring. And then he said he didn't wear the paper bag, but he fired him anyway. Like, he was ruthless and relentless.
In 1965, the Beatles were scheduled to play at Maple Leaf Gardens. Ballard sold tickets to two shows and told manager Brian Epstein that the band would have to play twice. Like, they only agreed to play once. Oh. He sold tickets telling people they're playing.
Hey, Beatles, you're doing 2 shows.
Yeah. Like, he's
running the show. He's like, why? He's
the boss of the Beatles. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, he had no. The Beatles performed twice. Epstein was furious but agreed. The Beatles performed on one of the hottest days of the summer, so Ballard ordered the start of each show delayed. The thermostats turned up and the water fountains turned off. Only the concession stand sold drinks.
Oh, you
He told the wall. He turned the water off.
He couldn't even get a drink.
So people he would sell more concession.
That's sick, man. I don't even know what to say.
After being released from prison, Ballard made an effort to kill off the World Hockey Association's Toronto Toros by raising the cost of leasing the arena and telling him it would cost an additional $3,500 per game to have the lights on. The Toros then moved to Alabama.
See ya.
1978, he fired popular head coach Roger Nielsen, who could not find a replacement, so he rehired Nielsen but told him to wear a bag over his head.
Exactly.
Nielsen refused. We'll have more Ballard stories on the other side.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Oh, not those gorillas.
You tell me. You want, this is the one.
No,
but
do
the
you
protest. Want to
tell what you told me?
No.
F you, I won't do what you tell me.
I don't know. It would help if Florio would tell us after.
Tell us, please, which song it is. We don't know.
All right.
Which one is it,
what
Florio?
Is it, then? We're not giving away tickets to the World Series right now, Florio. Just give us a damn answer.
It says Rage Against Testify.
Testify. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
They really do.
I don't know. They're tough. Like, I don't know why. They all bleed into each other.
You know, it's funny. I'm writing a new Homicide song. And I'm like, man, it kind of sounds like another song.
Tough, yeah.
But then I'm like, well.
Yeah, just do it.
Like, do so it. What?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who cares? Sell it.
band songs, like every Tool sound sounds the same. Every Killswitch Engage song is the same. Every Slayer song is the same.
There's a reason why. It's got good hooks in it.
I do like Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah!
I like Zach De La Roca. Could really, he could wail, too.
All right, so you know what? We're talking about Harold Ballard here, former owner of the Toronto Maple Leafs, a Maple Leaf guard in the building. And, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs won in 1967. That was the last time they won a Stanley Cup. And they used to win quite often. They were one of the, you know, the powerhouse franchises. And you can look, well, the original 6 days were over and expansion and all that other type of stuff. But really, the fact is, this guy really did single-handedly destroy the franchise.
For sure he did.
I mean, look, if he took sole control of this team in 1971, the record speaks for itself, Ken.
Well,
and he died in 1990. And what happened? From 1971 to 1990, the Leafs were terrible.
Yeah,
they got good like in 92, 93.
Kind of right after he died.
Two years after he died.
When they went to the finals and lost to the Kings with Carey Fraser and the Gretzky calls. What? Sorry, semifinals.
Yeah.
Forgot. That was a good year for Montreal. A very good year.
Yeah, Habs got lucky because Mario Lemieux got knocked out too by the Islanders, Glenn Healy.
Yeah, but what he did to Dave Keon, too. Like, right, Keon helped these guys win four Stanley Cups. Like, he just treated guys like junk.
So, as we state, so, you know, a good comparison, guys, you hear stories about George Steinbrenner, but Steinbrenner wanted to win.
Yeah.
Like, Steinbrenner actually wanted to win.
Good call.
Ballard's one of these old crusty jerk-offs that really didn't care about winning. He just wanted to make money. And Ralph Wilson of the Bills is like that. He really was. Like, Ralph Wilson, like, even, like, O.J. Simpson might be a killer, but I do believe him when he said O.J. Simpson told the story recently. He did a story. O.J. did an interview with the Bills recently.
Really?
Like Bills blog or whatever. Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's kind of different. I guess he's got to talk. Hey, guys.
Like, no one wants to talk to him. So O.J. was all happy. Yeah,
former Bills legend.
It was when O.J. was wearing a Bills jersey during the playoffs. He was like, go Bills. He was tweeting and stuff, right? But anyways, yeah, O.J. said about Ralph Wilson, they asked, what was your relationship with Ralph Wilson like? He said, well, not very good. And he said after I set the record for rushing yards, it was 1974, 1975, and I guess the Bills beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in a regular season that year. And the Steelers were like the best team in the NFL winning Super Bowls.
Yep.
And O.J. ran for 2,000 yards. The Bills beat the Steelers. I think the Bills were like, they might have only played 14 games, right? So I think the Bills were 10-4.
Good, very good
type thing. Yeah, they were good, right? And O.J. Simpson met with Ralph Wilson. He had 1 year left on his contract, and he met with Ralph Wilson or whatever. I don't know the exact details. But anyways, he was in the office with Ralph Wilson, and he said to Wilson, things are going great. He said, man, things are going real good. And he said, I really believe. And
we're going to get things done.
He goes, I really believe we can win the championship next year. And he said, we're just a player or two away. And he goes, if you just sign a few, get this guy and this guy. And he goes, we already beat the Steelers. We can do this for real. And Ralph Wilson said, well, why would I want to do that? And Ralph Wilson told O.J. Simpson, the last thing I need is to win a Super Bowl.
Really?
Pretty crazy, huh? He said, if I win a Super Bowl, then everyone's going to be coming into this office asking me for more money. He goes, I don't need to win any Super Bowls. He goes, O.J., we sell out every game anyways.
See, that's the old school attitude with, like, guys at Harold.
That's those
idiots,
old guys.
These idiots will come and watch these losers play.
In Detroit,
exactly.
Who is tight with Wilson. Same type of mentality. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just screw it.
It's about money. It's not about winning. Like, the Lions have never cared about winning, you know. They never have. They do now more so because of the modern era and whatever. But and same with Wilson. Wilson did spend money before he died.
Maybe he had like a vision.
No, it was out of regret that he realized, shit, I've never won before.
What have I done to this community?
Okay, now I'll give Bruce Smith the money. I'll pay Jim. Like, he did spend money before he died.
It was too late, though.
But, yeah, like it took him 50 years. I mean, the guy owned the team since 1960, right? I mean, it took him forever. So Ballard was the same type of guy. But, yeah, so sort of like Ballard firing Billy Martin. Except Steinbrenner never told Billy Martin to wear a bag over his head when he came back.
It's true.
After the Nielsen affair, Ballard went on the CBC radio program As It Happens. when things didn't go his way, he told host Barbara Frum, they shouldn't let females on the radio anyways. They're a joke.
This guy's unreal, eh?
He told Frum to mind her own business and hung up and ended the interview.
What a surly prick.
This guy would
No. Hey, the Me Too movement? Hi, Harold. Yeah, that's going to work. Hi, everybody.
They should have put females on the radio anyways. They're a joke.
He hangs up on it. Exactly.
Harold Ballard had a custom apartment built inside Maple Leaf Gardens to live in.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw him in that room that he used to have where it was funny because it was right there. They had the out-of-town scoreboard to the side. He had his little brick thing, the money room, and all you could see is there was a little couple
Listen
bricks
to this.
Out where
this
you
is
could
how
see Harold in there.
This is how hardcore he is as far as money. He really did think of everything, though. Harold Ballard, the Leafs used to not have names on the back of their jerseys.
That's true. Yep.
Why?
Cost of the stitching. No?
You'd be forced to buy a program to know who the players are.
That is absolutely brilliant. I got to give him credit for that one. Hey, what number? Who is that guy? Rocky Saginuk? No. I didn't know Greg Therrien was number 7.
Because people think, no, it's for tradition.
No.
It's because the name on the front means more in the back.
Yeah.
It's like, no. Because he said, if I put names on the back of the jerseys, I won't sell any more programs.
Wow.
NHL commissioner and president John Ziegler,
Ziegler
forced him. And he refused to do it. They had to fine him $2,000 a day for every day that he refused to put letters on the back of his team's jerseys. Ballard finally relented, but God, he really is Mr. Burns.
Yeah,
he really is. Like, no, this is as close to Mr. Burns as you get. He's a diabolical evil genius. He's a prick, but listen, so he, get this, Ken. He relented. He put white names on the back of the white jerseys and blue letters on the back of the blue.
Get out your binoculars. What? Can't read it.
Ballard said, all right. Yeah, you want me to put it? Wow. He said, fine. I'll put letters on the back. He put them the same color.
Amazing. You got to hand it to this guy. Great ideas.
He told Ziegler, are you going to reimburse me for the money I don't sell for in programs now?
You're right. Diabolical genius.
Yeah. Through much of his life, Ballard was involved in public battles with his three children, his wife Yolanda, and other Garden stakeholders. All right. He died on August 11, 1990.
It's been a while.
That's some good stuff.
It is great. I like that. The programs, stitching, like this guy.
He actually turned the water off on the hottest day of the summer, the day the Beatles were playing, so he would sell more drinks at the concession stand. He ordered them to turn the water off in the entire building.
No, but the best thing about it was the Beatles were, he said, only scheduled for one show. He goes, sorry, guys, you're playing two. I sold you for two. And they go, okay. Like, he actually beat the Beatles. Like, you're playing for
that's
me.
Like a real, that's like a real-life Mr. Burns thing,
yes.
Too.
You come to Springfield, and yeah.
Smithers, tell the Beatles they're playing twice.
Tell the Beatles.
I like this, the Beatles were furious, but played both
furious.
Shows.
And it was hottest day of the year.
They played both shows.
Wow. That's great stories.
Yeah, you really can't get.
You can't speak ill will of the dead, but yeah, it's.
No, wow.
Yeah, he was not a good guy.
He was entertaining. I mean, he never wronged me, so I can't.
He never wronged me. He never wronged me. He never asked him for money. That's the best. Just don't ask him for money. Wow. Unreal.
You know what? I've never been to Maple Leaf Gardens.
Never?
No.
It's
weird because I live like a block away from it, and I walk past it like a million times. But the
it's a grocery store.
Nobody
now.
Played there.
Yeah.
Like the Leafs left. Basically, I moved to Toronto
when they went to the Air Canada Center.
Yeah, I moved to Toronto the last
year of the Maple
the
Leaf
last
Gardens.
Night. That I swear to God, like the night I moved here, Oasis played the last show at the Garden.
That is correct.
It was one of those deals. It was like the last night, boom, Oasis played.
Yeah, and then I met you. Then you went to the sports bar.
They didn't destroy the building.
No.
Like you said, it's a liquor grocery store. There's actually a hockey rink in there.
Yeah, there still is. Yeah, they used to have the Timmy Tyke tournaments and the big kids tournaments in there.
It's Ryerson University.
The Rams use it now. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Very interesting.
It's a basketball court.
Yeah, like and a big super, big supermarket.
All right, so who are you taking in this home run derby tonight?
Well, Gabe, I usually bet on a couple of guys, and I'm looking for – I can't take Harper because of the odds, but I'm going to go with Max Muncy. I really like the situation. 22 home runs and only 225 at-bats. I think he can win his first match, and after there, Blewett brought up a good point. I think his bracket's nice. It's interesting, too, at a plus 600 guy, he's favored in his match at 160. It's another thing that I like. I don't know what Oakland was thinking, man. They had a lot of guys, but the Dodgers are sure happy that they picked up Muncy. I think it's 6-1 is a real, real good price for a guy that's come into the league and has major home run power. There's not a lot, like, you know what I mean? Like, you could take a flyer. You said it. You could take Bregman at 14-1. If you like Freeman, if he gets into a zone, I'm not taking Harper at 250. He can win. There's just, I think it's anybody's derby. You might as well try to find some plus money.
What makes it tough is the fact that it is a bracket situation and it's a head-to-head situation.
Yeah.
You take some, but they're going to get knocked. They could get knocked out in the first round.
They could.
That's right? So, you know, you've got to sort of...
Hopefully you can get to a hedge situation if you have a big enough dog. If your guy wins, think about it. If you take Bregman at 14-1 and he wins, you could almost do it, Gabe. Like, you think about it, you could.
All right, so I'll go through the matchups. Aguilar versus Hoskins, who you take?
I like Aguilar.
Yeah, I'll go with Aguilar here, too. Bregman versus Schwarber.
Might take a shot with Bregman, but Schwarber Bregman should win. But I'm taking a Bregman as a pooch, yes.
Don't forget, Schwarber's got his real estate.
Oh, that's right, Century 21. Here you go. Lots of home sales. I think they're the sponsor. Are they still the sponsor of all that stuff? I know they are. Yeah, one of those companies.
Yeah, I remember the old days. They used to have, like, a gold ball. Yeah, they give you a house or something.
That's right, gold ball. Yeah, I think they still do, or it's, like, mortgage for, I think that's the way they do it now. Yeah, now you got mortgage.
Pay your mortgage
off. Screw off. Give me the damn house.
I think it's what it is now. They pay your mortgage off for your house.
Really?
I think that's what they had. They've mixed it up a few times.
So what is it, Quicken Loans? Like, hey.
I remember years ago, it was like $100,000. I remember some dude, like he was cheering for a guy and they won. He won like $100,000.
Still awesome, but.
And I think they went away from the cash and like you said, it's more.
Mortgages.
They either give you a house or I think I believe the last time I remember, they pay your mortgage off.
I'd say most houses are worth more than $100,000, so you'd probably want the house, but they take care of the mortgage. We'll see how it goes tonight. I know. I'm not sure if it's.
I don't even know what they're doing.
Yeah. I thought Century, one of those real estate guys was the sponsor, but we'll see.
All right. Bryce Harper versus Freeman.
I kind of like.
It's hard to go against Harper.
It is, but you're not going to lay 260 in that matchup. I can tell you that.
Muncy versus Baez.
I'm taking Muncy.
Muncy.
Yeah.
And so you're taking Muncy to win it all, huh?
Yep. Muncy plus 600. Just kind of Muncy. You know, you're a Dodger fan, Gabe. Why don't you support the old
I do like
blue Muncy. And white? Now I think he's a really good price. And
the two guys I like.
I was going to take Aguilar as my second guy. He's been.
There's
good.
A lot of hype about Aguilar coming.
I know, and that's
he's a trendy.
That's
pick.
Not good for business.
Everyone
either.
Loves Aguilar.
I know.
Like, you know,
and that's not good.
Leads me to believe he's going to lose to Hoskins.
Yes,
in the first
it actually makes me scared a bit. Yeah,
no one's talking about Hoskins.
Every
at all.
Guy that was hyped up, they always go out early. So be very wary of those type of.
Listen,
guys.
Aguilar's got 24 home runs. He leads the National League in home runs.
Yeah, 272 at bats as well too. So he's got good power, real good power.
He's pretty heavily hyped coming into this. Harper is favored. Of course, it is in Washington.
Yeah, is plus 250 enough though? No. That's the thing. You know, Harper, sure, he could win, but it's not a good price.
I sort of like Freddie Freeman just because of the odds coming into this, but Freeman's got that bad matchup out of the gate.
He does.
Yeah, he's got to deal with Harper.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, and Harper's minus 260 in his matchup. It tells you Freeman could be in a little bit tough.
It's Harper's home park.
It is.
He's going to drive to work like he does every day. He's in his own room, his own locker.
If Harper was 4-1 instead of plus 225 or 250, yes. But the price isn't enough for me to pull the trigger in a home run competition. It's just not good value, buddy. But he could win. He should win. He's a favorite. But Muncy, that's a guy I think that can do some damage.
Tomorrow night we got the All-Star game, and tomorrow we'll start to talk a little British Open as well.
Yeah, I'm going to get you some guys, Gabe. I'm going to go through the lineup and some guys on the pros and cons list. Crazy story. Brandon Stone, this kid came out of nowhere to win. I had Eddie Pepperell at 100-1 in the Scottish Open, Gabe. He was leading into like the 10th hole, and this kid just went birdie, just smoked the competition. And Molinari, our buddy, another strong performance in the PGA, came second. So he's played two events in America, first and second. I've already bet Francesco Molinari at the Open at 38-1. I think his odds will go down probably to 25.
Pretty good 30. Odds for a guy. Yeah, it seems a little high.
Yeah, that's the thing. You get in those the early betting and watch out for Molinari at Carnoustie. They say, Gabe, it's brown and the ball is just like, it's absolute like cement out there. That's good for a straight ball hitter like him.
Yeah, it's
because if it goes, think about it.
Extremely dry.
If it's extremely dry and you can't hit the ball straight off the fairway, where's it going? Fescue, rolling off stuff into bad things, man. Be careful. Straight ball hitters.
Tiger Woods played a practice round there over the weekend, and some of his drives were going 400 yards.
Not going to be an issue off the tee.
Oh, yeah. But Tiger said the same thing. You better keep it handed. The fairway's very narrow.